number 10. These are verses that you know, very, very familiar verses. The Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. Verse 13, the hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, that's Jesus. And I know my sheep, I am known by mine. And the Father knoweth me, even to know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. A few years ago, I had the wonderful privilege to spend 10 days in Israel. First stop, a place called Joppa. Joppa is the place where Jonah started his trip, his calling from the Lord, his rebellion. Second stop was the Sea of Galilee. What a wonderful place that was. Memory I'll never forget. Went to a place called Capernaum. Capernaum in the Bible is some amazing miracles that took place in that small village town right outside Jerusalem. We went to a place called Masada. Masada is an amazing place. It's outside the city. And Masada is where kings built fortresses, and it was a safe haven for some kings. Went to the Pool of Bethesda. Went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Went to Mount Moriah. Went to the Temple Mount. Went to the place called Calvary. Went to the empty tomb. 10 days full of biblical areas that we read about, we've known about, we studied about. Just an amazing trip. And I was privileged to go in. I'll never forget that trip, and I wanted to share that with you. So it was an informative trip. It was an educational trip. It was a fun trip, a trip of a lifetime. But I've got to tell you, the sight that fascinated me most, the place that intrigued me the most that I saw and captivated my attention on that day and has been of interest to me ever since was seeing live shepherds with their flocks. What an amazing sight. You see, I went over there knowing that I was going to get to go to the temple. I went over there already knowing that I can go to see a Galilee. I already knew I can go to the Temple Mount. And I'm looking forward to doing all that. But for some reason, I wasn't told, or I didn't know that what I would see, that I'd see literally shepherds out in the field with their flocks of sheep. So we would go to Masada, for instance, which was about 2 hours outside town. We're on a big bus and we're fellowshipping, and I look out those windows and I see those shepherds along those meadow lands there. And I just thought, man, they still have shepherds and they still have sheep. And I don't know why I would thought that way, but I would see that. And then we would go to Masada and we would tour that area, and we'd come back late at night, dark. And then you'd see those same shepherds out in the fields. And so it just captivated me and just intrigued me about shepherds and their sheep. This morning, I want to take that experience this morning, and I want to share with you and compare shepherds and their sheep. And I want to compare shepherds to fathers. And father, in a way that a shepherd to a sheep is, a father is to his children, like shepherds. And we're going to see that this morning. Now, I got this shepherd stick that a church member got me here at Spradlin. That's scary, isn't it? That's kind of a scary looking little thing there. I guess you guys poke them if they're not doing something right. So y'all better be right. I might have to come over there and be a shepherd in life. The people that got this for me, it's ironic that the shepherd stood for a shepherd, and their last name is Lang. It's just, that's pretty interesting. So I'm just telling you, you know who that is, Dan. In verse 12, look at it with me there. Verse 12. He that is the hireling, not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, cometh, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth him, and scattereth the sheep. Three words in that verse, shepherds, number one. Mentioned 45 times in Scripture, the word shepherds. Shepherd is one who tends, feeds, guards, leads, governs sheep. Shepherds, 44 times in Scripture, mentioned here in verse 12. They watch over their sheep. Shepherds did. Then you see the word sheep there in verse 12. Where do I start with sheep? The single most defenseless animals of all time, sheep. Poor eyesight. No claws. No horns. No or little agility. Not me saying it. Experts say that sheep are stupid. They're dumb. They're dirty. They have no sense of direction. Therefore, they need somebody. Sheep need somebody. And God provided them a shepherd. Sheep need somebody to lead them, to guide them their entire life. We have the word shepherds. We have the word sheep. The third word that pops out there in verse 12 is wolves. Wolves. The largest member of the wild dog family. Wolves weigh between 70 and 115 pounds. They have deep, penetrating yellow eyes with great eyesight. Strong eyesight. They have large feet. They have long legs. They have excellent hearing and smell. They pursue, attack, and kill flocks of sheep. Wolves. In Scripture, there's three types of wolves mentioned throughout Scripture. There's evening wolves. Zephaniah chapter 3. Evening wolves are quiet. They're sneaky. They're crafty. And then they jump your back. Known to gnaw on the bones throughout the evening. They're called evening wolves. The second type of wolf mentioned in Scripture is the ravening wolf. Found in Matthew chapter 7. Ravening wolves are greedy. They come to destroy, to consume, to wreck, to ruin. They mean business. The third wolf that's mentioned in Scripture is the grievous wolf. You have evening wolves, ravening wolves, and grievous wolves, Acts chapter 20. These wolves are dangerous. They have a severe temperament that's life-threatening. And the greatest, don't miss it, but the greatest threat to both shepherds and the sheep is the same enemy, wolves. So number one, shepherds protect their sheep. A sheep's best friend is a genuine shepherd who displays sacrificial love. A shepherd will give his life for the sheep. The best friend a sheep has is a shepherd. The tool of the trade for shepherds is a staff. Most generally not like this staff, but a staff with a crook on it. They carry a sling with them. And they have a big heart. Shepherds. At night, a shepherd would gather all his sheep. He knows them by name. He puts them into the sheepfold, and he makes sure every single one of them's in there for the night. And then the shepherd himself becomes the door. So this platform could be the sheepfold. This could be the door. And lo and behold, they count all the sheep. They get them all in there. And then the shepherd goes to sleep right here. He puts himself between his sheep, protecting them. And out here, he simply, in case a wolf or a predator comes in, he's there. He becomes the door. That anything that comes in there has to go through him. If a sheep wants to get out, they have to go through him. He's the door. The shepherd's the best friend. Sheep have. He becomes the ultimate protector, placing himself between the sheep and the predator. True shepherds are on call 24/7. In many books, like this one that I referred to today, many books about shepherds and shepherdesses, men and women that work together to herd sheep and to shepherd sheep. They tell us all kinds of stories, and some of the stories they say is that shepherds like those ones I saw outside Israel in my trip there, those shepherds are there from day to night. They're out there watching their sheep, protecting their sheep, many times sleeping with one eye open. Both ears always open for a sneaky wolf that wants to get in there and have his way. Shepherds protect their sheep. Likewise, fathers, on this Father's Day, happy Father's Day, fathers are to protect their children. Deuteronomy 22:8, here goes. When thou buildest a house, thou shalt make a battlement for thy roof. Moses writing that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, talking about when you build a house, hey, you gotta protect your family. And the way you protect your family is you gotta build a battlement around that house. The roofs in ancient Israel were flat roofs. They were what we would know as a patio, a deck, an area that the family could go out and maybe unwind for the night, could go out and maybe have some like fellowship, get some fresh air. It was a place to relax. It was a place for family activities. And Moses gave us this little truth, this nugget of truth. It was a red flag warning. Thou shalt make a battlement. A battlement was about, we'll say this is the patio or the flat roof of those houses. And we'll say this is the edge. And so Moses simply said, you got to build a battlement, a three high railing fence battlement. You got to build a battlement around the edges of this thing, three feet up, okay? All the way around this, 3 foot up. And it's a battlement all the way around so that when the family's out there and activities are going on, and then you're relaxing and you're unwinding, you don't have to keep your eye on everything to keep a child from falling off or accidentally tripping or getting down. He's giving us a warning there to prevent harm, to prevent injury, to prevent an accident, to prevent a death. He's talking to us as dads and as people that build homes. The head of the home is the father. And so he said, hey, fathers, protect your children. Hey, dad, you and I don't have to have a PhD in 2024 to know and to be aware of the evil and the danger and the perverted wolves outside the doors of our homes, in our houses, in our families, in our cities, in our communities that are just out there waiting to devour our children. In this computer-based age that we live in, this predator-infested land, in this day of technology that we all enjoy to a degree, could be very dangerous to our families, to our children, to our offspring. Hey, Dad, I'm begging you. Grandparents, I'm begging you.
As an under-shepherd, as this pastor, I'm an under-shepherd. Under-shepherd from the great shepherd, the good shepherd. I'm an under-shepherd, and I'm here to challenge you and encourage you that, hey, we got to be dads. We got to be like shepherds. We got to be like fathers with our children. We're to protect them. Father, protect your family. Because, Dad, God chose you to be a dad. God chose you to be a father. And if you're a dad or a father like I am, then if you have children, your first job, my first job, like a shepherd's job, is to protect the flock, protect your family. And by the way, we don't raise our children for us. We raise our children for God. Psalms 127, as arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. My job, your job as fathers. My job, your job as shepherds. My job, your job as protectors. Our job is to take those arrows, children, out of the quiver that God's given us and blessed us with His favor, and to take those arrows and sharpen them and polish them and straighten them. And as they leave our homes, we shoot those arrows out into the world to simply have the understanding and the ability of being raised in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord to go out into a dangerous world and understand the boundaries and the principles and the doctrines and of God and His protection. Father, protect your children from wolves. Those who want to wreck your life, those who want to run your family, those who want to kill my family and your family. Hey, protect your family, protect your children, protect your grandchildren from wolves that are out there in 2024. You better know who your kids are friends with. You better know who your children talk to. You better know what your children watch on TV. You better know who they spend the night with. Hey, Dad, if you're not willing to protect your children from the wolves out there today, don't be a dad. Them kids are counting on you. You're there to protect them. That's our job, number one job, our number one responsibility. And don't become a dad if you're not going to protect those innocent lambs, those innocent sheep, those innocent babies, those innocent children. Someone says, well, Brother Don, this is a little confidential, just between me and you. He says, Brother Don, I want to. Brother Don, I want to enforce rules. I want to set boundaries. But my wife overrules me. Can I just tell you, dads, get the ruffles off the Levi's and be a dad. Be a protector. Be a shepherd for your children. And by the way, moms and dads, we ought to be unified on this subject of protecting our children. Hey, Dad, you're going to be held accountable. Take the most important role seriously. We're not in a popularity contest. No, we got to protect our children. Because being a father, oh my man, being a father is not only a good thing. Being a father is a God thing. Being a father is a reward. Hey, shepherds. Shepherds in Scripture protected their sheep. Likewise, fathers are to protect their children. And I think I hear the wolves. I hear the wolves. Secondly, we didn't hear the wolves. Okay, secondly. Shepherds provide for their sheep. You notice in verse 10, or chapter 10, verse 3 and 4. To him, the porter openeth.
To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by their name, and he leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, and for they know his voice.
They provide for the sheep. Shepherds do. Shepherds provide by leading sheep to green pastures, to leading sheep to water, to leading sheep to the sheepfold at night. You know the 23rd Psalm, he leadeth me beside the still waters. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. Shepherds provide for their sheep. Shepherds mandate rest for their sheep. Shepherds mandate relaxation, restraint for their sheep. Likewise, a father provides for his children. Verse 12 tells us there's wolves out there. We've learned already this morning that there's three types of wolves. None of them are good wolves. They're all bad wolves. So likewise, fathers, I'm a father. I'm to provide. I'm to not only protect my children, I'm to provide for my children, and likewise you do. Daddy was never hired. You was never hired to be a father. It talks about hirelings in here. It talks about when the troubles come or when the enemy comes, the hireling takes off and runs, leaves the sheep unprotected, unprovided for. But dads, we haven't been hired. I wasn't hired. God allowed me and chose me and allowed me to have that most important responsibility, that important job, most privileged job. You were never hired to be a father. We were chosen by God. So let me encourage us. Let's man up to our responsibilities and let's protect our children, protect our families, provide for our children, provide for our families. As a pastor, I see it all the time. I'll just have to tell you this morning that, man, I'm really sick of the year with deadbeat dads. Dads that are missing in action. Dads that are nowhere to be found. Dads that are doing their own thing. I grew up like that. I grew up with a dad like that. I just had zero use for dads like that. Someone says, well, Don, you better be careful. You're going to make someone mad this morning. I'll have to take a baby aspirin, half a baby aspirin to get over it, okay? It's okay. This is Father's Day. I'm just saying what a privilege it is to be called daddy, to be a father. In Matthew chapter 19, Jesus gives us four treasures. I'll just mix it up. He gives us four treasures to give our children and our grandchildren. And they're so simple. Here's what he says that we're talking about providing. We have to provide these things. Number one, a treasure of talking. What a wonderful thing that is. Just to be able to have a one-on-one conversation with our children from time to time. The treasure of talking together. Secondly, the treasure of touch. Just to touch. Just to put your arm around that boy, that girl. Put your arm around that boy and that girl. Just to pat that boy, that girl on the back when they're a little older. The treasure of talking. The treasure Jesus spoke of touching. The treasure of time. Spending time with those kids. Kids spending time with their daddy, their mama, their family. The treasure of talking, the treasure of touch, the treasure of time, the treasure of truth. Imparting truth. It's your job, Dad. That's my job, Dad. We're shepherds. We got to impart truth. Fathers provide for their children. 1 Timothy 5:8, if any provide not for their own, especially those for his household, he has denied the faith. And Scripture says they're worse than infidel. Home provided, food provided, clothing provided, education provided, safe environment provided, spiritual upbringing provided, or provide those things. That's what fathers do. That's what mamas do. That's what parents do. That's what grandparents do. Ephesians 4:28, let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good. This book, God's book, this good book, the Bible, tells us working is a good thing. The world tells us that work is a four-letter bad Bad four-letter word. W-O-R-K. Bad word. Bad four-letter word. God says it's a good thing. Work it with your hands. The thing which is good, so that I, God, brethren, can support and provide for my family. And you as a father, grandfather, can supply and provide for your family by working with your hands the thing which is good. Our country was founded. This great country was founded by men, real men. Men who worked, who toiled, who labored. Because they wanted to provide for their families. There was a day when a man got up before the crack of dawn. He grabbed his lunchbox. He walked to work. He made it on time. He rolled up his sleeves. He worked hard so he could provide for us. He didn't call in sick. He didn't show up late. He didn't leave early. He didn't complain because there wasn't air conditioning. He was a man. He was a father. He was a husband. He was a grandfather. He wanted to provide for his family. He went to work. There were men who wanted a better life for their family than they had. That rings the bell. We all want more for our children and our families than we ever had. So how'd they do it? They just went to work. They set an example of being reliable, being prompt, being honest. Honest 8 hours or 8 hours paid. 1 Thessalonians 3, if any would not work, neither should he eat. Don't go through life expecting freebies and handouts, lifetime welfare. Don't do it. Learn to work what you get. Learn to work for what you want. Well, learn to work for what you need. God tells us that God worked. God worked 6 days. He rested on the seventh day. Work. Fathers, protect your children like shepherds. Fathers provide for their children like shepherds. I think I might hear those wolves. Thirdly, shepherds punish their sheep. Thirdly, shepherds punish their sheep. Don't miss this one. They protect. They provide. They punish their sheep. Young sheep are known as lambs. Lambs have a tendency to wander, to go astray, to venture out, to get lost. So a loving shepherd will grab that lamb. He will snap its little leg into breaking his leg. He will then put that leg in a splint. He will then take that lamb and put him across his shoulders until he's healed. That little lamb will stay close to that shepherd, never to be out of his sight again. He'll never wander. He'll never adventure. He'll never get away from the shepherd anymore and put his life in danger. That's why the shepherd has to punish the sheep. It seems harsh. It seems over the top. But the world we live in is a dangerous world. It's full of perilous times. Shepherds didn't want those wolves we just heard coming after innocent prey. Fathers, you got to punish the children. not a Baptist thing. It's not a Don Bradford thing. It's not a Stratton thing. It's a Bible thing. Fathers punish their children. Proverbs 19. Chasten thy son while there's hope. And let not their soul, not let thy soul spare for their crying. They'll cry like you're killing them. But the Bible says that you're doing what a shepherd does. You're punishing them to protect them so they can have long life, productive life, constructive lives. Hey, Dad, if you expect the right product, someday, we have to adhere to the right process. Timeouts don't get it. Sitting in the corner don't get it. Following Dr. Spock sure don't get it. Those things hadn't worked so well. But Scripture tells us what works. While your children are young, punish them. Don't wait. Don't put it off until it's too late. Follow Scripture. Got to punish our children when they do wrong, when they disobey, when they don't obey. Our job is to make good adults out of them. Our job is to make those young girls who's going to be wives someday good wives. Our job is to make those boys who's going to be husbands someday to be good husbands. Our job is to make boys and girls who's going to be parents one day to be good parents. Hey, that's our job. We're to shepherd them as parents, and Dad, we have to take the lead. And just for the record, just so we'll get out of here, you, Brother Don, and he was saying we have to beat our kids to death. Just for the record, I am not advocating brutality. I am not advocating child abuse. I am not advocating murder. Just get it clear. God made a place that's universal for children to be punished and disciplined. Hit the target. Be firm. Be accurate. Do it often if needed. Proverbs 23:13. Withhold not correction from the child. This is the Bible, this is not me, okay? For if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. You look up that word, they don't mean to beat them until they get well. They don't mean to beat them until you get blood. No, it don't mean anything like that. It just means to punish them. Get their attention. Correct them. Teach them. They'll thank you later, and you'll thank yourself later. Just a reminder, kids grow up to be adults. Kids grow up to be citizens. Kids are alive. We have a small window of opportunity. The Father punishes his children. I love. We're to punish them in love. We're to punish them with patience. Or this will be definitely. You look out. It's called Shepherds for Sale. Shepherds for Sale. How leaders have traded the truth for leftist, liberal, woke agendas using anti-Christian psychology. And the outcome is to devour, destroy, devastate the Christian faith. I think I might hear the wolves. Hey, Dad. Protect your children. Hey, Dad. Provide for your children. Hey, Dad. Punish the children. There's the wolves.
Wolves are laser-focused to destroy our most prized possession. One last thing. Maybe you're here today. And you have guilt. Shame. Anxiety. Because your children are older. And they're not following the ways how you wanted to raise them or tried to raise them. And you're all constantly thinking, oh, what could I have done different? What should I have done different? Maybe you're like that today. In my book on Beside the Still Waters, Shepherd reflects on the Good Shepherd. I think I've ever read something in a pulpit before, but I've got to read this to you. The writer's talking about his flock. Their flock. My sheep have trust issues. Sometimes, but not always. Even though most of them have lived their whole lives here, were born here, I've been their only shepherd. They still don't always trust what I am doing or what I want them to do or why. For many years, I've fed them. For many years, I've given them water. For many years, I've provided their shelter. For many years, I've loved and protected them. Their first instinct is to sometimes still run away from me. I've even literally breathed life into some of these lambs at birth. I've helped mothers birth their babies. I've spent hours and days bringing a sick sheep to wellness. Yet they still can be less than trusting. I have to admit, this is the shepherd speaking. I have to admit, I sometimes have trust issues too. Sometimes, but not always. When it comes to my good shepherd, I'm anything but consistent in how much I trust in him. Even though he's provided for me in every possible way, sometimes I still run. At times I still don't understand what he's doing or why. Or what's the best, that is the best thing for me. I don't understand that. Even though my good shepherd created me, literally gives me every breath I take, has never let or forsaken me, I can still be less than trust. Perhaps if I spent more time trusting my good shepherd, instead of trying to figure out what he's doing, or why, or how, I would do it. I would see that what he's doing is actually the best thing for me every single time. You got trust issues? No. You know why? Because you can trust the good shepherd. He's always faithful. We don't understand what's going on. We don't accept what's going on. We can't get our arms around it. But for some reason, we can sure trust him. I want to encourage you. Turn over to the Lord. Let him handle his big enough. She said she didn't understand. He didn't understand why these shepherds, these sheep didn't have trust in him as much as they should have. And then he said, but then I don't know. I've always got enough trust in the real shepherd. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody looking around today. Happy Father's Day, dads. You gotta protect them. You gotta provide for them. And sometimes we gotta punish them. Let me encourage you wherever you're at. You have young children, young grandchildren, your your kids are raised like mine are, turn it over to the Great Shepherd. He's faithful. He never has failed. He's never let you down or me down. We can trust him. He too is their shepherd. He wants the best for us, and he wants the best for all of us. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your wonderful verses here in John chapter 10. Thank you for being the good shepherd. Thank you for being a trusting shepherd. Thank you for, Lord, being a faithful shepherd. Thanks for not being a hireling. That when we call you too much through prayer, when we blame you too much for what we should, you never give up on us. You never run, you never hide, you never ignore. You're the good and faithful shepherd. Father, we need that today. Bless today in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us all stand. The room is going to lead into the invitation. If we can help you anyway, just come. The good shepherd. He's a good father.
I can be my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me. He will be.
Anybody?
Grace and glory.
Great grace, dear daddy. Thank God that he allowed us to have children.
We're raising our children.
Church, heaven is your Lord. Never back down from it. Never shy away from it. Hands are bowed, eyes are closed. We pray us out of here. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your attention. Heavenly Father, we love you. Father, we thank you that you're the good shepherd. We're thankful, Lord, that you know our every thought. You know our every concern. And I pray this morning, Lord, that you just give us peace. That's all I understand. We don't even understand that verse. But we know you can. So, Lord, just give that peace to us today as we think about our wonderful family. Father, thank you for our children. Thank you for those who have grandchildren. Thank you, Lord, for being a parent. Thank you, Lord, for being a grandparent. And Lord, thank you for watching over us. We pray today be a wonderful day. We pray you bless every person here today. We pray you give them a good week this week. And Father, for that, we'll thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.